The great English etymologist Owen Barfield once wrote that words may be made to disgorge the past that is bottled up inside of them, as coal and wine, when we kindle or drink them, yield up their bottled sunshine. When we uncap the sunshine that is stored inside the many words that relate to the Christmas season, we discover that the light that streams forth illuminates centuries of human history and customs. So let us examine some of the words that convey the true meaning of Christmas. The word Christmas derives from the Old English Christus Mass, meaning the festival mass of Christ. Christmas is the only annual religious holiday to have received official and secular sanction by all of the states. The word holiday itself is another disguised word descending from the Old English Heiligdag, or Holy Day. With the change in pronunciation has come a change in meaning, so that holidays, such as Independence Day and Labor Day, are not necessarily holy. In English-speaking countries, the day following Christmas Day is called Boxing Day. This expression comes from the custom started in the Middle Ages around 800 years ago. Churches would open their alms boxes, in which people had placed gifts of money, and distribute the contents to poor people in the neighborhood on the day after Christmas. The tradition continues today. Small gifts are often given to couriers such as postal staff and children who deliver newspapers. The name Christ is a translation of the Hebrew word Messiah, the Anointed One, rendered through the Greek Christos. Jesus also reaches back to ancient Hebrew and the name Yeshua or Joshua, which is explained as Jah or Yahweh, Jehovah, meaning salvation. We learn about Jesus through the Gospels. Gospel is yet another disguised compound word from the Old English God, meaning good, and spell, meaning news. The four Gospels spread the good news of the life and work of Christ. No surprise, then, that the four men who wrote the Gospels are called evangelists, from the Greek euangelion, which also means good news. The babe was born in Bethlehem, a Hebrew word variously interpreted as meaning house of bread or food, house of fighting, or house of the god Lahamut. The Christ child was laid in a manger, a word related to the French verb manger, to eat. Why? Because Jesus' crib was a large wooden box that had served as a trough for feeding cattle. We call the worship of the newborn babe the adoration, from the Latin adoratio, ad, meaning to, oro, pray, hence to pray to. Among those who came to worship were wise men from the East, magi, a Latin word for magician. Magi were members of an ancient Persian priestly caste of magicians and sorcerers. Incidentally, the number of wise men is never specifically mentioned in the Gospels. We infer three from the gifts that were bestowed on the Christ child. The letter X is the first letter of the word Xtos, which in Greek is the word for Christ. Xmas, then, is actually a Greek derivative that does not eradicate the name of Christ from Christmas. But in reality, it is really a legitimate term that is used within the Greek Orthodox Church. Yuletide, as a synonym for the Christmas season, dates back to the heathen and then Christian period of feasting about the time of the winter solstice, December 22nd. The origin of Yule is uncertain. One suggestion is that Yule comes from the Gothic Gyul or Hyul, which meant wheel. In this context, Yule signifies that the sun, like a wheel, has completed its annual revolution. The Gothic Ol or Oel and the Anglo-Saxon Jöl, meaning feast, and the Middle English Jollen, to cry aloud, have also been considered as sources for the word Yule. Yule has an origin that is still somewhat in dispute. Some believe that it is Germanic in origin, and that it descends from Yule, which actually means a turning wheel, a reference to the winter solstice and the turning of the seasons. Whence the tide in Yuletide? From an Old English word meaning time, as in Eastertide, and time and tide wait for no man. Among the most intriguing Christmas etymologies are those for Santa Claus and Kris Kringle. When the Dutch came to the New World, the figure of St. Nicholas, their patron saint, was on the first ship. After the Dutch lost control of New Amsterdam to the English in the 17th century, Sinterklaas, a form of St. Nicholas, gradually became anglicized into Santa Claus and acquired some of the features of the English Father Christmas. Father Christmas is based on a real person, St. Nicholas. Nicholas was a Christian leader from Myra in modern-day Turkey in the 4th century A.D. He was shy and wanted to give money to poor people anonymously. It is said that one day he climbed to the roof of a house and dropped a purse of money down the chimney. It landed in his stocking that a girl had put up to dry by the fire. And this explains the belief that Father Christmas comes down the chimney and places gifts in children's stockings. Kris Kringle reflects an even more drastic change from one language to another. The Germans and the German-speaking Swiss who settled in Pennsylvania in the early 18th century. They held the custom that the Christ child, the Christkindl, brought gifts for the children on Christmas Eve. When these Pennsylvania German, also known as Pennsylvania Dutch, communities were joined by English-speaking settlers, the Christkindl became Kris Kringle. By the 1840s, Kris Kringle had irretrievably taken on the identity of St. Nicholas or Santa Claus. Slogans like "Put the Christ back in Christmas" were coined in an effort to remind people of the holiday's origin. The word carol came from a Greek dance called a choroline, which was accompanied by flute music. The dance later spread throughout Europe and became especially popular with the French, who replaced the flute music with singing. People originally performed carols on several occasions during the year. By the 1600s, carols involved singing only, and Christmas had become the main holiday for these songs. Most of the carols sung today were originally composed in the 1700s and 1800s. They include "O Little Town of Bethlehem" and "Hark the Herald Angels Sing." The words of the famous carol "Silent Night" were written on Christmas Eve in 1818 by Joseph Mohr, an Austrian priest. Franz Gruber, the organist of Mohr's church, composed the music that same night, and the carol was sung at midnight mass. "O Holy Night" was introduced at midnight mass in 1847. Adolphe Adam, a French composer, wrote the music. Popular non-religious carols include "Jingle Bells" and "White Christmas." One of the various plants associated with the Christmas season, the poinsettia, possesses the most intriguing history etymologically. A Mexican legend tells us of a penniless boy who presented to the Christ child a beautiful plant with scarlet leaves that resembled the Star of Bethlehem. The Mexicans named the plant Flor de la Noche Buena, Flower of the Holy Night. Dr. Joel Roberts Poinsett, the first U.S. minister to Mexico, discovered the Christmas flower there in 1828 and brought it to this country, where it was named in his honor in 1836. The poinsettia has become one of the most popular of Christmas plants and one of the most misspelled and mispronounced poinsettia, poinsettia, poinsettia words in the English language. Another botanical Christmas item is the pear tree. In the seasonal song, "The 12 Days of Christmas," have you ever wondered why the true love sends not only a partridge but an entire pear tree? Well, that's because in the early French version of the song, the suitor proffered only a partridge, which in French is rendered as une pertrise. A 1718 English version combined the two, a partridge, une pertrise, which, slightly corrupted, came out sounding like a partridge in a pear tree. Through a process known as folk etymology, which we've been discussing on this entire track, the partridge has remained proudly perched in a pear tree ever since. A Merry Christmas and Happy Holy Days to all.